Welcome to episode 236 of Friars on the Farm. I'm Donovan, and with me is Roy.
Oh, Donovan, I'm glad to be here with you on a Sunday afternoon. It's been a long weekend, but I'm glad to get together with you.
It was a long weekend, and it was a long week. And I tell you, just watching the game today, it was a long inning for Woosuck Go.
Yeah, you know, that's spring training, you know. Yeah. Guys got to get the rust off and all of that. Get all that stuff out of your system now before the games really matter. You know, it happens.
Right. You know,
all right, well, so
during spring training, only the good stats count.
Right. That's right. Right. Yeah. The bad everything stats, don't worry about that. Some single A hitter you never heard of is posting a 1000 OPS. Yes. Let's get excited about it.
Yeah.
All right. So on today's agenda, we're going to talk about the MLB spring breakout rosters. The MLB pipeline released the Padres top 30. And then we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of guys who have a good chance of making the big league roster this year.
Absolutely. But first, hey, please go to Apple Podcasts, give us a review. We're also on Spotify, iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button. Follow us on X, Threads, and Instagram. We're now on YouTube. Go to YouTube, smash subscribe. We'll be posting this and all our future videos and episodes. All the content we get during the season will be posted on our YouTube channel and all the other social media aspects. Go do that. And let's get out with it, dude. So
I'm excited about the first annual spring breakout game. This is a new thing that MLB is doing. So what is the spring breakout? MLB Spring Breakout is a four-day event showcasing baseball's future, the current stars of minor league baseball. The inaugural edition will be held from March 14th through 17th at Grapefruit and Cactus League stadiums during spring training. A series of 16 exhibition games will be played between teams comprised of each MLB organization's top prospects, creating a new touch point on the baseball calendar that celebrates our sport's budding event. So the Padres minor leaguers will play the Seattle Mariners minor leaguers. It's going to be on Friday the 22nd, and then it'll be rebroadcast on the 23rd. So if you don't catch it live, try to catch the replay, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And I heard Sammy Leavitt is going to be calling the play-by-play for it.
Play-by-play, which is Sammy's actual vision for himself. He wants to be a play-by-play guy. The radio stuff is fun, and he's doing a great job of it, and he's doing an incredible job with it. But in his heart, he wants to be a play-by-play guy.
Right. So talking about Sammy, after I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, yeah, how do you learn how to handle a major league environment and all of the difficulties, all the challenges, all the rules and the egos and all of that? I mean, he's getting to handle all of that right now. Kind of a crash course in all that.
Yeah. Well, that and the prep that I think he's going to do is going to be excellent. He'll be prepared for this. And what I'm amazed when he does interviews, like, he doesn't have any of those questions written down. I need all my questions written down in front of me and be able to read them off. And he's just rattling off questions. Yeah, what about this? Well, hey, about this? Remember this? I'm always in awe at how well, the pros do their job when the scrub like me just goes out there and just tries to get some content, really.
Right. Well, Sammy is absolutely a pro, and whatever lays beyond this current job, I'm glad that he's here in San Diego doing what he does for the Padres. So the Padres spring breakout roster. So Baseball America, they've been covering the heck out of this thing. It is kind of their bailiwick. So they had a couple articles I thought were interesting. The first one here, ranking every spring breakout roster for all 30 teams. Jeff Pontus of Baseball America put this out, and he ranked the Padres number one. They have six top 100 prospects. The notable stars that they listed were Ethan Salas, Jackson Merrill, Robbie Snelling, Dylan Lesko, Drew Thorpe, Leodalis DeVries. I thought that was an interesting inclusion. Yeah. Jairo Iriarte and Graham Pauly. The intrigue factor he put on that was an 80 on the 20 to 80 scale. And that's because the Padres boast star power on both sides of the ball, and Leodalis DeVries' inclusion ups the intrigue factor. The Padres boast the largest group of top 100 players. The pitching core boasts three top 100 players and a flamethrower in Jairo Iriarte just outside the top 100. Now, somebody posed an interesting question. Can players be on the breakout roster and also travel to Korea with the Padres? because these games are going to be happening while the Padres are overseas.
Well, it's gonna
be and two of those
telling.
Guys, we're going to talk later. They have a pretty good chance of making the big league team.
Absolutely. Well, I think they're going to be, if they won't be on that roster, they'll be on the plane to Seoul. And that's the price of success. And that's what they want to do. They want to be on the major league roster. You know, and obviously we're talking about Jackson Merrill and Graham Pauly, you know, and some of the other, you know, Drew Thorpe, not necessarily, but, King, you know what? King isn't on this. So he's going to be on. He'll be number three starter. So,
oh, he's already on the big league roster. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it pans out. And I'm really stoked for this. I'm glad Major League Baseball is finally putting this together and really showcasing the minor league talent of all the organizations, where I think over the past 10 years, and certainly well before we started doing the podcast and more content, that minor leagues were absolutely in the fantasy leagues. Several other, you know, content creators were following the minor leagues, and they have just blown up. It's another, you know, it's just, you know, for us freaks that love minor league baseball, we, you know, we're finally getting our due, I think.
Right. Well, and they're kind of expanding what they do with the futures game. The futures game, you get a couple of players from each team and they put together one game. This, you're getting a full roster from every single team. So fans of every team are going to get their day and watch all of their guys. And then you also have opportunities to see everybody else, because it's not always the top two or three prospects that are really the interesting ones. Oftentimes, it's somebody that, you know, unless you follow really closely, it's some minor leaguer you haven't heard of that all of a sudden shows up and becomes somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why they call it the breakout. So that's what's going to be happening at the end of this. That's what I know what I'm doing on Friday.
Absolutely.
All right. So going up the 20 up arrow MLB prospects who can solidify their stock at the spring breakout. Josh Norris from Baseball America put this out. And I thought these choices were very interesting. We saw Dylan Head come into camp just absolutely yoked. Or what would Manny say? Swole. He is swole. You know, Braden Nett, who we had in the podcast and had a breakout season during Arizona Fall League, are two names that he has here. So outfielder Dylan Head, San Diego's farm system, eats, sleeps, and breathes upside. And Head has it in spades. The 2023 first-rounder boasts a potential five-tool skill set and made a quick mark in pro ball by reaching low A in his debut season. He's a plus defender in center field with a double-plus speed and 55-grade hit tool. Depending on how his body fills out, he could find enough power to crush 15 or 20 homers per year, too. That's pretty exciting. And I can't wait for him. He'll probably start the year in Lake Elsinore. He'll definitely be one of our guests on a future pod if he is there. And I'm stoked to see this kid play. We got a little bit of him at the end of the season last year, but not enough, or just enough to get my, just enough to get my mouth watering, you know?
I'll be a little surprised if he starts the season in Lake Elsinore. I think they're going to send him straight to Fort Wayne. He hit pretty well while he was here. Now he's got his first year of pro ball kind of under his belt, albeit the kind of a half season. I feel like he's somebody that the Padres are going to push a little more aggressively, even though he's a high school guy.
Yeah, he's very young. So also Braden Nett, right-handed pitcher. Nett entered the Arizona Fall League with under the radar and emerged from the six-week sojourn as one of the desert's buzziest names. The right-hander showed huge raw stuff in the fall, including a fastball that touched 99 at the front of a pitch mix that also includes a cutter, sweeper, and changeup. There's a lot of polish still to be applied, but he is the type of raw stuff that turns heads right into the Padres system that always has someone who will turn heads. And he was a non-drafted roster, and he's a non-drafted guy.
Right. And as we were, as we learned talking to him, he'd gone a long time without playing competitive ball between COVID and injury and all the other stuff. And so the polish that they talk about, he does have a lot of work to do to make up for lost time. And he did a lot last year. You can really see from where he started to where he finished, there was a lot of development just in that short period of time.
Yeah.
The control command, that's what he has to develop, because the stuff is legit. Yeah. And I think we're going to see it come on this year.
Yeah. Definitely has to work on the command. If not, and we talked about this before, is he can be a fast riser with that fastball.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
All right. So moving on to Jerry Espinosa, man, he's not a scout, but he has spent the last week in Padres camp and has tweeted out some great video, has taken some absolutely amazing shots. But he tweeted this earlier this week, catching up with live BP today, Brandon Carpathios had a good round versus Gabe Moser, and Leo Dallas DeVries showed up the pop with a home run to right center off Yoan Gonzalez. DeVries is 100% as advertised.
Yeah, I saw the first couple of clips of him out there doing infield drills and and you know, in some of those scrimmage at bats, and the guy looks like he belongs. I mean, he doesn't look like he's just, you know, brand new.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got another hit off Alec Jacob. Like, he also posted a couple of videos. I think 97.3 posted a video of him getting a hit. And, you know, I think you said earlier on X that, you know, you don't want to check his papers, but God, the kid doesn't look like a 17-year-old kid. He not only does he play ball like a well-established minor leaguer, you know, advanced for his, incredibly advanced for his age, but he does not look 17.
No, both the build and in his face. He looks a little older to me, but you know, that's just good genetics, I guess. Yeah, well, so yes, please find Jerry Espinosa. If you don't follow him already on Twitter, he's at jespinosa1634. I don't have his Instagram up in front of me, but he is an absolute must follow for anybody who follows minor league baseball, especially Padres minor league baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's retired. I spoke to our friend Gail. I'm sure you know Gail, the photographer. And she was actually staying at Jerry's place. Jerry lives right there in Arizona. He's retired, and so that's just what he does all summer long. He's out there taking pictures at extended spring training, at the Arizona Summer League, Arizona Fall League, Fall Instructs, whatever. He's a baseball rat. He just likes to go out there and take pictures of the guys.
Yeah, and you know what else he does to really make good money is he works for the rodeo. So
what
they have him, and I talked to him a couple of years back, and he makes more money doing the rodeo. And he's like, dude, they give me a camera. They say, go take pictures. And they give me boatloads of money.
do they put him in that barrel in the middle of the thing?
I don't know. But he's like, they give me a camera. I shoot with their camera. I give them the camera back and they pay me a lot of money. So he makes a lot of, you know, a bulk of his money through the pro bull riders, the PBR, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
just like the beer.
Yeah, pretty much. That's past Blue Ribbon. Yeah. And then the minor league stuff is a passion and he loves it. And he's a Dodger fan. That's okay. And he makes a little bit of money from that, but yeah, he makes bulk of his money with the doing bull riding, photographing.
Go figure. That's a fun kind of quasi pseudo retirement hobby. Hobby that pays you a little bit. All right, so one last thing here before we get to our little break. Trimming the roster, brought to you by Manscaped. So go to manscaped.com, use code FRIARS for 20% off and free shipping. So a couple of moves, the Padres, you know, periodically they're trimming the roster as we're getting closer to opening day. So on March 3rd, right-handed pitchers Nick Hernandez, Jairo Iriarte, Adam Mazur, Sean Reynolds, left-handers Daniel Camarena, Jay Groom, Austin Krob, and Robbie Snelling, Ethan Salas, Marcos Castagnon, Nathan Martorella, they were all optioned to minor league camp, they were either optioned to minor league camp or assigned, depending on their roster status. And then on the 4th, right-handed pitcher Matt Festa, left-handed pitcher Ryan Carpenter, outfielder Bryce Johnson, and then just yesterday, Logan Gillespie and Alec Jacob, Ryan Burger, Tommy Nance, Javian Sandbridge. So that's a lot of names to run through real quick right there. The one that kind of surprised me a little bit was Jairo Iriarte.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he'd stick with big league camp just a little longer.
You know, and just because they got sent down doesn't mean they won't get into games, but they needed him to probably get more of a rhythm of being in the minor league camp with minor league, you know, getting his innings in and not just being, you know, just not starting every 5 days. I'm sure there's a little more concentration, a little more development happening on the minor league side. But you're right. There was talk of him maybe even breaking in as the bullpen, maybe even a long shot for a number five starter. But interesting. Well, yeah, absolutely.
If they truly see him as a starter and they want to keep him as a starter, then it does make sense at this point. Because as you kind of alluded to it, if he was on the big league club, he'd be coming in like the second, third, fourth pitcher in the game to come in and pitch an inning or two. Where on the minor league side, he'll go and he'll be starting these backlot games And he'll have his prescribed pitch count, whatever. He can go 50, 60, 70 pitches, and they're not worried about trying to get the next guy his work. And right. Because that's how this works. They've got, okay, you're going to pitch so many innings, then it's going to be him and him and him and him. So we'll see. Like, Sammy Leavitt's done a pretty good job of tweeting out, here's the list of guys that are scheduled to pitch today. And that's, to me, that's kind of a must see. I want to see who that's going to be. It's exciting. I like to know who's going to be in there. Like, you see it like, oh, hey, all right, Alec Jacob's going to pitch in the game today. I want to catch that, you know?
Yeah. And you know, out of this list here, Sean Reynolds pitched today. Logan Gillespie, I think, pitched. You know, Nathan Martorella got in the game today. So, yeah, it's just because some of those guys are down doesn't mean they're not going to pitch. But with Iriarte and, you know, guys like Adam Mazur, they more controlled environment, more way to just kind of control the workload and work on development at the same time, where if you're on the major league roster in a game, like it's not as controlled.
Right. And we kind of need to keep in mind, it's March 10th as we sit here, and it feels like the season is a ways away, but we're only 10 days away from that first game in Korea, the first game that actually counts for the win-loss column.
Yeah. And it's interesting how they come back then and play two games with Seattle and then get right into the series.
Yeah. There's the two exhibition games in Korea, and then they play the two games that are real, air quotes, and then they come back and they play the two exhibition games. It's kind of back and forth. And I have a feeling that those two showcase games, maybe we'll see the starters come in and they'll get one at bat. They'll play a couple innings in the field and then they'll be done. And then we'll see, you know, the B squad and the C squad for the most part. But it's a fun exhibition game. So it's going to be cheap tickets and, you know, take your kids and have fun. So now the Padres have 43 players remaining in Major League camp, getting a little closer to that 26. So speaking of Korea, so you've got, I think I heard that they have 30 players that they can bring to Korea with them. So it's going to be the 26-man roster and then four taxi squad guys. Yeah. Those guys don't necessarily have to be on the 40-man roster. So after our little break here, we're going to talk a little bit about Jackson Merrill and Graham Pauly. I have a feeling that Graham Pauly is going to make the trip over as a non-roster taxi squad guy. And if the opportunity were to arise, if something happens, then maybe he's put into service. Or maybe he just flies along for the opportunity.
Yeah, he might even start at third base, but we'll talk about that right after this break. 2024 is in full swing, and that means it's time for a New Year's resolution check-in with our friends at Manscaped. Newsflash, it's never too late to level up your grooming game and keep your bush tamed.
Manscaped new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're going for a trim or that clean-shaven look, this trimmer has you covered, and it's got a little hat light.
Yeah, the light's sweet. I you know, when I got the gear, I use it. I use the lawnmower. I use the trimmer. I have, in the past, have used various tools, using a razor, using scissors, from various, like, really bad idea. The product works. It is fantastic, and no nicks, no cuts, and you're nice and smooth. So it's been trusted over 10 million men worldwide. Now it's your time to get a grip on your grooming with the exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code FRIARS and get 20% off plus free shipping.
Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code FRIARS at manscaped.com. Embrace a new you and definitely embrace a new trimmer, courtesy of Manscaped.
Rima. All right, so let's move on. Sam Doxson just came out with the Padres top 30 from MLB Pipeline. And, you know, it's funny. It's interesting how this list was so much affected with the Soto trade. And in the same breath, I think if those guys weren't here, that it would have been, you know, it would have been certainly different, obviously. But, you know, a couple of these guys kind of choke up the top of the list here.
Because you've got Drew Thorpe, who jumped in there at number five. Yeah. And then Randy Vasquez is at number 15. So they kind of bumped everybody else down a couple slots.
Yeah. So let's go with it right here. So number one, what top 10, you think? Top 15 or so?
Okay, sure.
All right. Number one, Ethan Salas.
No surprise.
No surprise. Jackson Merrill, who we'll be talking about a little bit more here in a minute.
He's a MLB number 12. Robbie Snelling is number 36 in MLB's top 100.
Yeah. Dylan Lesko.
MLB number 56.
Yep. Number five, Drew Thorpe.
And he's number 85. There's all the guys in the top 100.
All right. So then number 60, you have Leo DeVries.
That's an interesting one right there. That somebody, again, I mean, like Ethan Salas last year, guys were, a couple people put him in their top 100, and it's like, well, can you put somebody in the top 100 who's never played a game as a pro? But DeVries apparently carries the same kind of absolute superstar potential talent.
Yeah, and that's, you know, at this stage of my life, I don't want life to hurry up, but I kind of want to hurry up and see this guy play Major League Baseball. Hell, I can't wait to watch him like Elsinore, but like to watch this kid develop, and he is going to move uber fast. I would not be surprised, obviously, if he did make it to Elsinore, and you know, the way Preller does it, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in Fort Wayne by the end of the year.
It's possible.
You know, so rounding out at number seven, Sammy Zavala, number eight, Jairo Iriarte, number nine, Dylan Head, number 10, Adam Mazur, 11, Graham Pauly, number 12, Jacob Marcial, friends of the podcast, number 13, Ryan Burgert, and number 14, HBJ, Homer Bush Jr., and number 15, Randy Vasquez.
I love seeing Homer Bush Jr. jump up there. The more I see the guy, the more I like him. He just has that kind of aura, that personality that like draws people to him. He's such a likable dude.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, absolutely. The interview that Sam did with him, just a million-dollar smile. He could move fast as well. Let's see how things go out in this season. But I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up maybe finishing up in AAA in El Paso.
It's possible. The big test for him is going to be hitting double-A pitching. Yeah. And he hit real well in Lake Elsinore. Didn't seem to miss a beat when he got up to Fort Wayne. But that next level, when you get – they say that step from high-A to double-A is one of the biggest differences in talent level that hitters see. So once he gets to a place where guys can tunnel their pitches a little better, they understand how to sequence and how to attack hitters. That'll be interesting to see how he adjusts to that level. Cause I don't know why I keep getting kind of Buddy Reed vibes a little bit with the crazy athletic talent, and he's got the speed, he's got the frame in batting practice, he's got plenty of power, he hit well in college, and the personality is just through the roof. Right. So how well is he going to hit when he gets to that upper level? Now, Buddy Reed, he grew up playing all kinds of other sports, and then baseball was kind of a side gig, and then he started where Homer Bush Jr., I mean, his dad was a major leaguer. He grew up around pro baseball. I believe that his hitting skill is going to carry better than Buddy Reed's did.
Absolutely. And, you know, he was there for a week in double-A and hit like 427. He could not get a hit. But that's one sample size at the end of the season when pitches are getting tired and he's hungry. Hopefully that's a little bit of evidence of things to coming this next year. But
right. And also, they didn't have a book on him yet either.
Right. Absolutely. So let's talk about for a minute the biggest jump and fall from the top 30.
So the biggest jump, Graham Pauly, they list him as a third base, second baseman. 2023, they didn't rank him at all. And now he's number 11. So they're right up here. They say Pauly was lost in the shuffle of that 2022 class as he joined the Padres as a 13th rounder out of Duke. But his short, sweet swing certainly played in pro ball, and he showed enough power and speed to become San Diego's only 2020 minor leaguer last year, picking up 23 homers and 22 steals at single A, high A, and double A. With his offensive potential, Pauly will keep moving around defensively in order to keep his bat in the lineup as much as possible. Now, so far in spring training, we've seen him play a lot of third base, a fair amount of first base, and I don't recall. Have we seen him in left field at all?
Nope. No, I haven't seen him at all. It's been
I didn't think so.
Third, not even second. I don't think I've seen him at second base either. And he's done really well at first base. Although the throw today, you saw the throw from Eggy. I thought it was a little bit off. He doesn't have really the stretch on that. You know, it's one play, so it's not that big of a deal. But I think that gets caught. But that throw did take him off the bag. And I think it says here an early guest of Friars on the Farm in the 2023 season propelled Polly to such heights of glory.
Are you telling me there's some mojo at play here?
I'm saying mojo, baby. Mojo.
Yes. Love that mojo.
Yeah, baby.
So we've got a little more write-up on Graham later on, but I'd like to think that he's, if he doesn't make the team right out, he's going to be like one of the first options, especially if they need somebody to cover at third base that first few weeks.
Yeah, and then if that happens and it really looking like it might happen, set the expectations low. Like just it's just enough for him to get his feet wet. My thought is perhaps they will go to the Korea series, and then when they come back, they set the rosters after the two exhibition games in Seattle. And then if they haven't signed anyone, which it doesn't look like they're going to sign for anyone, doesn't look like they're going to trade for anyone, that maybe that they, maybe Manny's healthy already, health's back to 100%. And, they find somewhere in the, in Double A.
Did you hear? So apparently, so I saw early in spring training, Manny was out there throwing and not throwing full effort, but throwing from all the different arm angles over at third base, and everything was looking good. Apparently, that has been slowed down a little bit, and now he's resumed throwing activities now. But I didn't hear that there was a period of time in there that he was not throwing so much and only swinging a bat.
Well, and you saw those throws, you're like, wow, he's throwing already. Like, it was really surprising to see him throwing, although bet, 60% across the diamond. We didn't know he was that far, but let them take their time. It's a long season.
And the
way this team starts the season is not going to be the team that we're going to see in the end. And I would rather have them take their time and have Paulie stay on the roster, if that's the case, for a couple of weeks till he's 100%. Mm-hmm. Let him get his feet wet. He'll have his first taste. He'll know where he is. Maybe he blows up. Maybe he'll hold his own with the glove. Maybe hold his own with the bat, but we'll see definitely where he is. And when Manny comes back, then Paulie goes down and works on what he needs to work on. And we go from there.
Right now, it kind of seems like it's a competition between him and Eggy Rosario.
Yeah.
Those two guys have been getting a lot of the reps at third base. I feel like they're looking at both of them pretty close.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, gotta love Eggy, and I mean he's really good over at third base. I didn't realize. I always thought of him as more of a second baseman, but third base has become his new home. So yeah, okay. So back to this article here. The biggest faller, and this unfortunate, is Jay Groom, left-handed pitcher. Last year they had him at number nine, and now he's not ranked at all. Groom was in competition for a major league spot last spring, but is still awaiting his MLB debut after posting an 8.55 ERA with 137 strikeouts and 112 walks in 134 and two-thirds innings in hitter-friendly AAA Pacific Coast League. The left-hander only sat in the low 90s with his pair of fastballs and didn't miss as many bats as he needed to with the secondaries either. The 25-year-old remains on the 40-man roster, but was already optioned early in camp this time around. So last spring, people thought he had an outside chance to make the opening day rotation, like be the back-end guy. But I don't know what happened. He just did not look like himself all year long. And then this year, apparently he's dealing with, I don't know if it's an oblique injury or something. There's something that's been holding him back this year. So he hasn't been a full go this spring. But I was surprised to learn that because of his minor league service time or lack thereof, he gets a fourth option season. So oh, really? I thought he was one of these guys that had to stick. Like, it's either you're making the squad or you're going to have to be assigned somewhere. They can option him to El Paso. So that's his fate to start the season, it sounds like.
Yeah. And with all the influx of the pitching from the Juan Soto trade, we can afford giving him his time to let us get his feet underneath him, and maybe make those changes. Maybe it was some off season changes that he made to bring him back to where we was when we got him in the trade. It'll be interesting to see how the season does play out for him. But I think now maybe that pressure's off a little bit, where he can focus on getting healthy and getting back to where he was, and then we'll go from there.
Right. But I mean, it is a long season, and teams use 10 to 15 starting pitchers every year. So at some point there's going to be a need. And I hope when that time comes, he's ready to answer the bell.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the best tools on this list.
I always love this. This is always fun.
All right, go ahead. So players are generating. Go ahead.
Players are graded on a 20 to 80 scouting scale for future tools. 20 to 30 is well below average. 70 to 80 is well above average. I mean, like top of the scale. It's most guys fall in the 40, 50, 60 range. So they go through, and for each of the tools, they're listing out a guy that stands out. So the hit grade, they're already hanging a 65 on Jackson Merrill. Not surprising. We see what he's doing in spring training. He's hitting everybody. He's hitting big league pitching. He's hitting all over the place. He hates striking out. I love seeing that in interviews. They talk to him, like him and his dad, like you do not want to strike out. That is a wasted out. So make a productive out, get the bat on the ball, force the defense to make a play. I love that attitude.
Yeah.
And then the power, they called Ethan Salas out. Yeah. I think they're going out of the guys in the top 30. So that takes guys like Albert Fabian and Griffin Dorsching out of it. But there's a lot of pop on that top 30. And to already put 17-year-old Ethan Salas on that, that's a little surprising to me.
Yeah. As he gets older and starts putting on that muscle and growing into his body, I think they're going to see that uptick in power. I hope, being a catcher doesn't take away from that bat. And that's kind of one of the key things where, you know, 2 or 3 years into service time, they're already talking about putting someone like that at first base so they can save the bat. As young as he is, I think he'll be behind the disc for a while. But we'll see. And we'll see if Luis Camposano kind of keeps him down in the minor leagues in the next year or so.
Yeah, I mean, there's no need to push him. It's fun to get excited and think about, you know, 18, 19-year-old teenager getting a main gig behind the plate. But that it does not happen in baseball these days. And Pudge Rodriguez was the last guy to really do it. And then to go back before him, you've got to go back a couple of decades. It's not really until you get back to the 50s that it was not unusual to see a teenager strapping on the tools of ignorance.
Right.
But if he makes his debut next season, that's still way ahead of the schedule for most guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So run, they put an 80 on Dylan Head. No surprise there. He's one of the fastest guys out there. Although I will point out, when I saw them do that 60-yard dash, Homer Bush Jr. took him down. But I guess, okay, so run, you're not always just talking about straight line, who's the fastest from A to B. It's who's the fastest out of the box going from home to first. Who's the fastest getting a lead and taking off to second base. It's baseball fast, not like track athlete fast. Right. Maybe there's a distinction there.
Like NFL combine fast.
Right. So for arm, JD Gonzalez with a 70 grade arm, who most people haven't seen any of JD Gonzalez.
No.
They drafted him last year and he was kind of a surprise drafty right after signing Ethan Salas the January prior. He's from Puerto Rico. I know we covered him after the draft. I saw him doing some exercises out there, and he absolutely does have a cannon. It's a little bit of a wild cannon right now. He's got to rein it in, but I mean, he's a teenager, so he's still figuring out all that out. But yeah, he's coming off a knee injury, and I think that's why we didn't see him in actual game action last year. But this year, he should be a full go. So he's an exciting guy to follow.
Yes, interesting. I think we're going to see Lamar King maybe start, and maybe him and Lamar King maybe, you know, piggyback each other this year in Lake Elsinore.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So the defense is 65 for Ethan Salas. And tonight's the Oscars, and the defense goes to Ethan Salas with a 65 defense. And that's what his calling card has been since he's been here. You've heard it from all the major league guys, all the coaches. Mike Schilt can't talk enough about how much the kid doesn't act like a 17-year-old. He doesn't play like a 17-year-old. He acts and plays like a veteran, like a seasoned veteran at 17, and he's only going to get better. And that's the thing. He's only going to get better. And
you watch him in these games, how he sets a target, how he gets down quick and blocks. Yeah. All of his actions back there look like a seasoned pro. They don't look like a teenager.
Yeah. So the fastball was a 65 for Jairo Iriarte and Dylan Lesko. Curveball a 60 for Randy Vasquez and Robbie Snelling. The slider is a 60 for Alec Jacob, Adam Mazur, Ryan Berger, and Randy Vasquez. A lot of slider guys, a lot of sweeper guys.
I think Alec Jacob has a bit of an advantage because he's such an extreme sidearmer that he gets that. It's like the lefty version of Tom Cosgrove, that real low release. And so they get that slider with just a ton of horizontal movement.
That frisbee slider. So the changeup, Dylan Lesko and Drew Thorpe. I don't know if you've seen any of the video that I think it was 97.3 The Fan had on, had put on X, where Thorpe was just throwing changeups, and it was a Bugs Bunny changeup. It was just getting, I mean, these minor league guys were just had no chance because you saw the arm speed and the ball just comes out super slow. And it's just insane how much of a weapon that's going to be.
Yeah, I know Bob Scanlon was really impressed by that. And, they, you know, as long of a major league career as he had, when he, you know, I put a lot of credence into what he says when it comes to pitching.
Yeah. And then control, you have 60 with Drew Thorpe and Adam Mazur. And that's going to be both those guys' calling card is going to be control. Neither one of them throw particularly very hard. I think Mazur tops out at 92, 93. I think I saw a couple of times. I haven't seen any gun on Thorpe, but I know that he doesn't throw much harder than 90-ish. 90-ish. But you don't need to throw 90 if you have a good off-speed pitch and you know how to control. You know, and
right. Yeah. As guys have told us, it's easier to hit 98 down the middle than it is to hit 92 that's spotted on a corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're trying to sit on the changeup or a slider. It's just not going to happen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
All right. So let's talk about the second guy who just might leave Peoria on the squad. And
I'm pretty sure this guy's going.
Yeah. You know, he has a passport. I know he has a passport. So he is ready to go if called. But Kevin Acey writes, the Padres believe Jackson Merrill has the talent, mind, heart to make jump to the big leagues. And that's the big thing with, you know, you need to have talent and skill and the ability. But a lot of that, everyone has a talent, skill, and ability. It's the mental side of the game that I think really is going to, it separates Merrill from any other person as young as he is. And he will be, if he does make the opening day roster and make the opening day center fielder, two other kids. Can you name the other two other 20-year-olds that made it to the pros before 20?
As a starting center fielder.
As a starting center fielder.
Ken Griffey Jr.
The kid.
And then I don't know. Oh, it wouldn't be. You're not going all the way back to Mickey Mantle, are you?
No, not Mickey Mantle, but he was with the Braves.
Andrew Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I forgot he was a teenager when he broke out. Now, if Merrill makes it to the majors, if he makes the opening day roster, I don't think he's going to be the starting center fielder. If he's going to be a starting player, I think he's going to be the left fielder, and you'll see somebody like Jose Azdokar or maybe even Oscar Mercado holding down center field. Tim LoCastro is making a pretty good argument for a spot right now. But anyway, tell us what Kevin Acey has to say about Jackson Merrill.
Well, so the Padres could hardly be more pleased with how Merrill has rapidly progressed in his plate discipline, how he's taken to playing in the outfield, how he's gotten bigger while maintaining all of his athleticism, how much he knows about playing sound baseball. Key word there. There are two things Bogaerts sees in Jackson Merrill that speak to why Merrill is almost certainly going to be the Padres' starting right fielder. One has to do with the uncanny confidence that seems to be inherent in Merrill's constitution. Yeah, he doesn't lack that, Bogaerts said after laughing heartily. I knew that from the get-go. He ain't lacking that. Maybe him having that confidence, it won't knock him too hard in the ground. It's not an arrogance. I wish I had some of that when I was younger. You know, and that confidence has to come with the caveat of, like, it's a very hard game. And it will grind you down if you let it. And that's where the constitution of the confidence is good, but maintaining that confidence and maintaining the focus once things don't go your way, and they will not go your way fairly quickly in Major League Baseball.
I like that he says it's not an arrogance. Like it's, right. He doesn't come across as cocky. He's not like, I know, you know, I'm better than you. It's that just, he knows he's good. And, but he really is a team oriented kind of a guy. And you see that I love the question of the day things that they post, and he's always the ringleader, kind of pulling people in and having some fun with it. And that's what I saw in the dugout at Lake Elsinore, and that's what you see out on the field in spring training now.
Yeah, well, I like how he ringed in Marcy and Paulie during that question, and Paulie's like, "What would you do if you were in a major league?" "I'd be in finance. I'd be in New York on a stockbroker," and he's like, "That's weird."
I think Graham told us that. I think we got that answer from him.
No, absolutely. So the other thing has to do with the subtleties in Merrill's game. I see those swings he takes, that oppo double against Chicago, Bogart said, and the pitches he'd be laying off. And not like me. I lay off like halfway. Not him. He lays off all the way. That and more, they believe he can be productive enough while going into an everyday major leaguer. Now, that's key. Like, we're going to have to give him the time to develop and that kind of space to learn the game at the major league level. It can speed up on you, and that confidence and ability is there. But we're going to have to, as fans, you know, and people that are absolutely gunning for this kid, we're going to have to allow him to learn, you know, to go through those moments of the in and outs of the game. And we'll see how long that lasts.
At the same time, he seems pretty precocious when it comes to that kind of thing. He's been making adjustments way quicker than your average guy. So I'd like to think that when those struggles come, he's going to be able to pick up the keys and figure it out quickly, rather than watching somebody just dangle and struggle out there for a month.
Yeah. Well, it says here, the more is something arguably as important as any factor when considering this type of promotion. The team is certain Merrill is capable of handling the inevitable struggles that will come in his rookie season, be that bad moments or bad months, and possibly being sent down to the minors if he doesn't perform at an acceptable level. Very nicely put there, acceptable level. Allow him to struggle a little bit. Don't let him struggle too long. And then, you know, if he makes the adjustments, he makes the adjustments. Listen, this is a hard game regardless if you have a day in the big leagues or 15 years. It's a challenging game. So really the question part is the player ready physically? Well, that looks to be pretty clear. This is the guy who physically can handle the position. Second, a really high baseball IQ, and everything checks the boxes emotionally. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know until it plays out. And the organization's got a decision to make whether to start that process sooner than later, whether he needs more seasoning.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's looking every bit the part in spring training. And I, you know, a month ago, I was harping all over Twitter, like, if Merrill and Pauly and these guys are on the big league roster on opening day, then Preller didn't do his job finding enough depth, enough options to bring into camp. But you see the other guys that are in camp that are fighting for those same jobs. They're doing a pretty good job pushing them.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Oscar Mercado and Tim LoCastro. They definitely look ready to take on a role. Yeah. And then you look at what Tyler Wade and Mason. Well, I'm thinking infielders now. Okay. But Tyler Wade and Mason
McNeil. Is it McNeil?
Mick. His name's escaping me. But anyway, there are a couple of
McCoy.
Infielders that
Mason McCoy.
McCoy. Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, these guys are definitely pushing for the job. It's just Merrill hasn't backed down, and yeah, Pauly has shown up, and these guys are definitely making an argument like, hey, I look like I'm ready. I'm acting like I'm ready. So give me the job.
Absolutely. I think every ball that's been hit out there, and it's going to be a long season. He's looked great. He has looked like comfortable in center field with balls in the gap, with, you know, not getting the balls and getting them in. He's thrown out a guy. But it's a long season, and there are going to be bad reads. There are different ballparks. There's just all the factors that go into a regular major league season at a very difficult position in center field. This is not first base, and first base is incredibly difficult.
Right. Well, and so there have been a couple of times. I can think of one in particular where there was a ball that fell between him and Tatis. And on the radio, I think they even said something like, you know, if they knew each other better, then somebody goes
Austin
and gets
Kim,
that ball.
Austin Kim? It was Kim that went out for that ball. That was a little in the no man's land, I believe.
No, I'm thinking of one that was in right center. And it was Tatis out there. And so it's like somebody's got to call somebody off and somebody needs to take charge. Usually that's the center fielder. And up till now, Tatis is used to playing center field with Trent Grisham next to him, who I've got range for days. And I'm sure he's eager to call everybody off if he's. Yeah. So that's something that just comes with time, and it comes with confidence and experience and learning. So throwing him into a starting role in center field is asking a lot of the guy.
Yeah, it is asking a lot. And I know we've talked about it in the past where we're like, we think his seasoning is better. His development is better kept down in the minors where the heat is off. But certainly if the Padres feel he's ready, I'm stoked for him, and I can't wait to watch him debut.
Yeah.
Let's just watch how it unfolds. And, you know, I want this to be different than the past few years it's been. I thought I saw a tweet the other day and it had a picture of like Carlos Asuaje, you know, Hunter Renfroe and Austin Hedges, you know, the first wave of talent. And the next one, I couldn't even remember who the next talent of guys that we're just like, these guys are going to come up. They're going to tank. Although I don't think Asuaje was ever going to come up and blow up. But we certainly thought Renfroe was in a, you know, hit for power and average. And it just didn't happen. And we talk about these guys like Merrill and Pauly and Marcy and Martorella and Merrill. And these guys. And I don't have that same vibe. It's not maybe because we know them a little bit better. We've had them on the podcast and we've kind of got to watch them a little more closely. I think it's different than these guys that have come in the past, where they're just better ball players, you know?
That group of guys largely came by trade. So it was, Renfroe was drafted by the Padres, but yeah. Margot and Asuaje came in the Craig Kimbrel trade. And so it's like, we knew their names and we were following them. Renfroe and Hedges, I think both of them were first round draft picks. And so they were hyped a little bit more, where Pauly and Martorella and Marcy kind of came out of the cornfields, right, out of those cornfields behind you. they were later draft picks. And so they weren't hyped from the beginning. It's just last year, all of a sudden they made a name for themselves. And now they're starting to make an argument like, hey, I'm showing you that I belong. I can do this. All right, so AJ Cassavell has come out with a couple. His newsletter has been so good. Between AJ Cassavell and Jesse Agler, we've got a couple of really entertaining newsletters to keep on top of. But why don't you take this first one about near midway point of camp? What stands out?
Okay, three. There are bench jobs galore, and those bench jobs will go to bench players, not prospects, and that's the key thing. So you're talking about Mercado. So you're talking about a Cal Mitchell. Definitely LeCastro, who came on hot. I think he got four hits in his first four at-bats. Got another knock today. The ball you saw, I think he lost it in the sun, that ball that he dropped. I mean, it hit him right in the glove, kind of like a frog with a tennis racket.
It's the high sky. I blame the high sky. That's what Don Orsillo is always talking about.
You know, so that's just a one-off. But Schilt conceded as much when asked about the potential downside to have some of his younger players not getting regular reps while on the bench. If guys are just breaking into the big leagues, we feel they'll probably need to play. They'll probably need to be more everyday type players, Schilt said. And that's going to be important. So guys like Mercado and some of these other guys that are trying to make the major league roster can sit on the bench. And it's not as, you know, they can be very much more a platoon type player if that's going to be the route that they go. Says here's guessing that statement applies specifically to Merrill, Marcy, and Graham Pauly. They'll need to win everyday roles or at least be on the bulk side of a platoon. Otherwise, they seem destined for the minors. Number five, for everything Soto could do at the plate, he wasn't much of a left fielder. In fact, I think we've seen enough from Merrill already to think he's an upgrade defensively. Absolutely. Still, I'd be very wary about Merrill as a regular center fielder. It's too important a position. It's useful that Merrill is getting reps in center. If he were to make the roster as a left fielder, there's value in being able to move to center late in a game when the need arises. But if Merrill is on the opening day roster, I still feel left field as his likeliest position.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with that. You know, give somebody with experience that job of being the captain in the outfield and center. And take some of that responsibility off of Merrill, where he just has to go get it.
Yeah. And then if, you know, someone like Sugar is struggling at the plate and Merrill's holding his own, you know, move him over to center and have a Mercado or LeCastro, you know, platoon in left field with Profar. So we also got, you know, Jerickson Profar, a solid platoon player at least, you know, a fourth outfielder, probably better served as a fourth outfielder if the starting three up there can hold their own at the plate as well.
All right. So a couple quick hits at the bottom of his article here. Leo Dallas DeVries, MLB Pipeline's top ranked international prospect in this year's class, arrived at Padres camp on Sunday and got straight into the action. DeVries was one of a handful of players to participate in a backfield intra-squad game facing Alec Jacob, a big league reliever. DeVries fell behind 0-2, but the 17-year-old shortstop shortened his swing and looped a single into right field. He promptly swiped second base and would come around to score. Quote, immediately when we saw him, we knew it was a special talent, Padres scouting director Chris Kemp said when the team signed him in January. Thus far, I'd have to agree. So I wanted to include that in there. I think it's notable that DeVries has arrived in camp and is already raising some eyebrows.
Yeah.
So then in his next newsletter here, the title was a breakout Padres prospect makes his roster case. So AJ says, I didn't expect to have my interest peaked in the seventh inning of an early March Cactus League game on the other side of the valley. Padres regulars mostly didn't make the trip to Scottsdale to face the D-backs. The few that did had already been removed from Tuesday's game. Yet when Jose Azokar faced lefty reliever Joe Mantiply with two outs and nobody on, Graham Pauly strode to the on-deck circle for another at-bat. Pauly is one of the most intriguing prospects in big league camp, vying for a spot on the opening day roster. Mantiply, a big league all-star, would offer a stiff test for the lefty hitting Pauly. I don't root for much, but man, I wanted to see Azokar reach base just to get a look at Pauly in that spot. I'm guessing Padres decision makers felt the same. Sure enough, Azokar shot a single through the left side, bringing Pauly to the plate. Quote, I haven't faced a ton of lefties so far this spring, Pauly said. I've been wanting to face some, and yesterday I got a chance. He made the most of it. Pauly laid off two very close pitches just off the outside corner. At 2-0, he got a sinker on the outer half of the plate and laced a single up the middle. It was the highlight of an impressive day for Pauly, who went 2-for-3 with a pair of walks, including one in the ninth against another of the D-backs' big league lefties in Andrew Salfrank. Padres manager Mike Schilt said, it definitely counts for something. If you're going to be an everyday player, you need to be able to, as a lefty, stay in and hit lefties. It's a good sign he's been able to do it. He's had a nice spring. Now, we saw that all last year. He hits righties and lefties very well. It's a little different in the minors. You don't quite see the platoon split. Right. Oftentimes, you'll see somebody that has a reverse split, and then they come up to the majors, and whatever weaknesses, they find those holes in their swings. And sure enough, a lefty has a hard time hitting lefties. A righty has a hard time hitting righties. But I feel like Graham Pauly's approach is balanced. His mechanics are solid. His plate coverage is really good. I think he's going to have that big difference between righties and lefties. And so if we're looking at somebody who might be called upon to play third base for the first 3-4 weeks of the season, yeah, and you're going to be calling on him to start 4 or 5 days out of the week, I think he has a pretty solid chance. He's got all the tools in his box to do it.
Yeah, I saw him. They busted him early, busted him inside early. The lefties did, I think, today. And he has the bat speed to fight those pitches off. I think he grounded out to second, but he can get his bat head through there and make strong contact. And we know he can hit righties. And once again, I'll bet it could be a small sample size. If it is 2 or 3 weeks, that'd be perfect. Enough time to kind of give a good sample size of where he is and what he needs to work on. And hell, if he's blowing up, you want to put him in AAA. You don't want to send him down to AA because you don't want him coming off the bench. I love how AJ kind of gets a little fanny, shows a little fanboy in his newsletter, where I think that's really nice.
He's a baseball fan. He's not a Padres fan. And he'll tell you that he's from Pennsylvania. And I think he grew up, I don't even remember what team, because we talked to him a couple of times.
Yeah.
But he is a journalist and he does a pretty good job of staying objective. Of course, he is the MLB writer, so he has to be favorable toward the Padres, but he sees an instance here where an interesting prospect might have a moment to prove that he can do something in a spot that you don't usually see a prospect get in a minor league game or in a spring training game.
So there it is. There's a path for Pauly to win an opening day roster spot. The Padres don't have an obvious DH. They could use a backup at first if Manny Machado begins a season limited to DH duties. Well, the Padres need a third baseman. Pauly is capable of filling all those roles. This spring, he's hitting .333, .440, and .619 with 3 extra base hits, including an easy power opposite field home run against the Giants on Saturday. He led the Padres farm last year with 23 home runs, or the system last year with 23 home runs, posting a .931 OPS across 3 different levels. So, yeah, let him go with the mojo.
Yeah, so much has been made about the Padres' search for another bat, and make no mistake, they could definitely use one, probably two, but Pauly is emerging as an internal option for playing time. quote, "There's only so much that's in my control," Pauly said. "I'm going out there and I'm going to compete every day. I'm going to keep learning from these guys that are some of the best players in the world. Just continue to play well. Whatever happens, happens. Wherever I go this year, however I can help, whatever team I'm on." And that's exactly the attitude that you want to see a guy have. Like, whatever opportunity you're going to give me, I'm going to make the best of it.
Yeah, and I'm going to work hard at it. And that's the thing with this season. With, you know, I think a couple of years ago, we were talking about they signed a couple of guys, and we're like, well, we're just going to infuse, like, you know, it was Luis Patino and you know, Mackenzie Gore were going to come in, low dollar guys that are going to kind of like not have to be the high paid guys and fill in with those roster spots where we have other high paid players. Where this year, if it's that kind of year where we get to see a good chance, still have a very competitive team, have a team that's going to compete for a playoff spot, or at least a wild card spot. Who knows how the season ends up, but to get a good chance to see where those guys are and maybe come up and tear it up. I think it's going to be a season well worth watched.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you've got the superstars. You've got a handful of guys that, I mean, you've got three guys at the top that could be an MVP candidate any given year. You've got a couple of guys at the front of your rotation that are going to bring it, and you've got a really solid bullpen. I think there's some useful role players to fit around them. And I like the back of this year's lineup better than the back of last year's lineup. Although, you know, I'm saying that now. It's easy to say in what, March 10th. But there's lots to be excited about this year. And so I know people are up in arms that, oh, they haven't spent all the money that they saved from the Soto trade. And I think we've become spoiled as a fan base a little bit. Yeah. We've gotten used to all the splashy moves every year. They're signing some big free agent or they're making some big trade. At some point, they had to back off that and reset. And I think that's what we're seeing this year. They're going to reset the CBT tax. But they're going to hold on to, they haven't emptied out the farm system. They could have traded a bunch of these guys to bring in another starting pitcher or to find a left fielder. But they're holding on to them. So I think they are planning for long-term success while still fielding a roster that has the potential to do something this year. Who thought the Diamondbacks are going to go on a run? Nobody.
Absolutely. Nobody. And they're going to be good again this year. They signed a bunch of guys. And you know, and Tommy Pham isn't going to solve this issue. And do we want, you know, as good as a player as he showed up last year, do we want him on this roster? You know, he said all the right things last year during the World Series. He said everything during the playoffs that was all right. And he gave, what's his name, the at bat. But, you know, there's a reason why he hasn't been signed. And I think it has a lot more to do with them staring at each other, trying to agree on a price than it is. You know, absolutely. I think AJ's sitting there watching, seeing how our guys develop this spring and how they're playing. But I think it has more to do than just money than we want to bring Tommy Pham in here and kind of, you know, throw him into the mix.
Well, I mean, the Padres had him long enough. They know who he is. They know how he ticks, how he gets along with teammates, how he works. So I'm sure Mike Schilt and AJ Preller have had that conversation of, do we want to talk to him? His asking price might be up above what the Padres are willing to pay. But at this point, I'd rather go with what we got in-house versus bringing him in particular on board.
Yeah. And have that money in reserve to do something during the trade deadline. If we're competing, if we're, you know, if we need that one guy and we need the money, I'd rather have that money in reserve than go over the CBT and have to reset it again next year.
Right, right.
We have a ton of those young guys we haven't even talked about that are coming up, that, you know, the pitching side, and your Nathan Mortarella, is that going to be first base? And, you know, there's a lot riding on the season with these young guys. And I think I'm here for it, man. I'm absolutely here for it. And the season be damned, because I want to see these guys come up and make this team better.
Well, you made a good point, because last year the Padres brought in G-Man Choi and Garrett Cooper and Rich Hill. And for the most part, that didn't work out in the Padres' favor. But still, when they did that, they took on a fair amount of salary obligation. Yeah. So if they were to do that again at this year's deadline, they do have the flexibility to do something like that.
And someone a lot better than Choi. And Cooper did okay, but he didn't do enough for the Padres to be interested in signing him to a deal.
Right, right. Now, did you see today on Instagram, Blake Snell on his story, he just posted the eyeballs This is a black thing with the two eyeballs looking to the side, like something's about to drop with Blake Snell. And I'm holding out the foolish hope that the Padres can somehow find some weird way to thread through all the legal mumbo jumbo and bring him on board while staying under the, although I know that's not going to happen. He's probably going to be a Yankee. Maybe he's going to Seattle. I don't know. There've been some teams with injuries, but I'm really eager to see where Blake Snell goes. He became one of my favorite guys after getting to watch him up close last couple of years.
Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch as long as he's in the American League. If he's not going to be a positive, which is probably slim to no chance, it's going to see him. Great to see him pitch. And I'm going to definitely watch some of the games that he pitches in just for the interviews. Like, I might fast forward through the game just to find the in-between interviews with him.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I don't know that he's going to find a broadcast team that can ham and egg it up with him as well as Don and Mud did.
No, I don't think so. And you know, particularly in New York, where they're a little more straight tie, I guess you want to say, you know.
Yeah, a little buttoned up,
a little more hardcore, where they can't be all relaxed and have fun like Don and Mud love to do. And that's the beauty of those guys.
Well, I've had a lot of fun hanging out with you today.
Yep.
But I think it's time for us to wrap it up.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter, RX, SD Donovan.
I refuse to call it X. You find me on Twitter, right. @Zippy_TMS. I'll talk to you next time.
Absolutely.